break them up?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. In a report out today, mortgage bankers are calling on Congress to break up Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac into several smaller privately held companies. Marketplace's Sam Eaton has our story.
So far, the two government-controlled lending giants have received nearly $100 billion in federal bailout money. That's kicked off a heated debate over the future of the lenders and how they should operate going forward. The Mortgage Bankers Association essentially wants to backstop future meltdowns in the industry. The group's idea to break up Fannie and Freddie into smaller companies is to prevent having so many mortgages and securities fall under just two government-backed entities. Instead, the MBA wants the smaller companies to pay into a federal insurance fund that would guarantee against catastrophic losses. The MBA says unlike the implied protection of the existing system, the new plan would provide explicit federal backing. The Obama administration is working on its own overhaul plan, but that's not due out until early next year. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Around the world, a sell-off in stocks continues. Wall Street shares tanked yesterday by 2%, the Dow losing 185 points, closing at 9,310. European markets are down now, but by less than 1%. Oil is under $69. Earlier today, Asian stocks sank by around 2%. Chinese stocks have been wildly volatile lately as people are asking themselves, is China's recovery for real? We put that question to our Asia correspondent, Scott Tong, in Shanghai.
If you buy the latest data, the answer is yes. Chinese banks lent out more money than expected in July. And in August, factories registered the most activity in 15 months. That's good for China, but also global suppliers of iron ore to make steel and coal to power those factories. That's how traders see it. David Cohen is with Action Economics in Singapore.
Commodity markets do react to news out of China as never before, and they are the biggest customer for certain categories of metals.
And yet, investors can get too China-happy, thinks Australian currency trader Sean Callow at Westpac Bank. Monday, for instance, Shanghai stocks fell nearly 7% for domestic reasons that may not impact the rest of the world. Still, most of the world followed Shanghai down.
There's a notion that if the stock market sells off, then that must be because the locals know something that we don't, and therefore the safest thing might be to count on a gloomier outlook.
Even as most economists forecast a sunnier outlook for China. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
People aren't flying around the world as much these days or across the U.S. An American airline says it's cutting more than 900 flight attendant jobs. Those cuts include leaves and furloughs, and they take effect October 1st. Meanwhile, the government is giving Southwest Airlines more time to replace unapproved parts that were installed on dozens of planes. A maintenance company hired by Southwest put in the parts to deflect hot engine exhaust away from the wings. Well, they were not FAA approved. Southwest faced a replacement deadline this week, but they've got an extension until late December.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Forest fires are still raging here around Los Angeles. Officials say they are more contained now, but the danger to homeowners remains very real. Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus says these fires bring lessons to homeowners everywhere of the importance of preparing for natural disaster. Good morning, David.
Hi.
What are the lessons here?
Well, it's really about underinsurance, quite simply, that making sure you have enough coverage to rebuild your home after a disaster, whether it's a fire or something else. Consumer advocates say that no matter what the problem, they see thousands of complaints nationwide after every disaster from people who say, wait a minute, I had insurance, and yet when I went to the insurer, they did not rebuild the home, and that's apparently the big problem.
Why wouldn't insurers rebuild?
Well, the problem is insurers say, hey, these people typically don't buy enough coverage or they do improvements that they don't tell us about, and then we don't know about that, and they say that it's the fault of the insured. Consumer advocates say, no, that's not the case. In fact, many insurance companies will underbid to offer a more competitive proposal, which doesn't have enough coverage, or they will deliberately say, hey, this is enough for you, to try to minimize their risk.
Okay, so you got a house, a home, what should you do?
Well, the experts say you want to make sure that you're covered for at least $250 per square foot in terms of your building. That represents current construction costs. If you want to be real smart, make sure your policy covers at least $300 per square foot, and that's what you want to take to your insurer. Have them spell it out for you and make sure that that dollar figure is represented. Otherwise, you don't have enough to rebuild.
You've been thinking about this for days. What else should homeowners know?
You don't want to get into a problem after a disaster with, the insurer says this, but I say that. Here's a good piece of advice. Take your insurance policy, take any written agreements you might have, put it in a fireproof box, put it in a safe deposit box. Make sure you don't get into a situation where it's your word against the insurer. Moreover, at least once a year, take a video recorder, walk around your house, point it at things, and inventory your possessions. You do not want to have to dispute after a fire, for instance, that you really did buy that 60-inch plasma TV.
I've actually done this. The CD's in a safe deposit box.
Well played.
David Lazarus, LA Times business columnist, thanks.
Pleasure.
And finally, if this recession has you feeling like your money isn't safe anywhere, this might be reassuring. In Valencia, Pennsylvania, police say a man attacked a bank ATM for 17 minutes straight with a crowbar and a power saw and got nothing out of the machine except presumably a headache. Police will release a surveillance video of the whole incident, which would be kind of fun to watch. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke, and we have a new feature at our website. It's called Starting Over. We ask listeners to share their stories of how this recession forced them to dramatically change their lives. These folks had to reinvent themselves. They learned a lot doing it, and I think you will too if you take a moment to listen. Their photos and some very inspiring stories are at marketplace.org. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.